Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today. It's wild and windy outside at the moment, but I hope you feel you're having a warm welcome from us. Today is Sunday, the 1st of November, and it's sometimes known as All Saints' Day. That's what we'll be concentrating on today. Meanwhile, let's open our worship with singing our first hymn. It's Who Are These Like Stars Appearing?
Now let us pray. O Lord, our God, wise one, your knowledge is complete, perfect in every way, and we seek to learn and become wiser. We come before you as willing students, ready to listen, to hear your words of wisdom for us today. In your wisdom, you gave each one of us gifts and talents to build up your church and your kingdom. And we're sorry for those times when we have failed to use all you have given us. We're conscious that there were times when we chose to ignore the needs of others. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us. We desire wisdom. We long to be more like Jesus, to be more saint-like in our words and our actions. We recommit ourselves to the work you have given us, using all that we have to bring the kingdom of God here and now. Amen. Today is All Saints' Day, and that means that yesterday must have been Halloween. And I hope all the children had a really enjoyable Halloween, although they wouldn't have been able to be out guising and doing all the usual things. The 31st of October is also remembered as Reformation Day. And on that day, in 1517, the German reformer Martin Luther would set in motion the Reformation that would sweep across
Europe. We're now going to watch a little video clip that gives us a wee overview of Martin Luther's reformation of the church.
This is the story of Martin Luther. He got up to some pretty adventurous things. He was kidnapped by knights on horseback, lived in disguise in a castle, and helped some nuns escape from a convent by hiding them in barrels. But as a young man, he was troubled by a deep sense that he wasn't right with God. Once, in a thunderstorm, a lightning bolt nearly struck him. He thought he was going to die, and he cried out for help to one of the saints, saying rashly, "Save me, and I'll become a monk." He survived, and so, true to his word, he gave up his studies as a lawyer and became a monk. His friends and family said he was wasting his talent. In the monastery, he started reading the Bible. He discovered that it was God's mercy and love that was all that was needed to be right with God. And for the first time in his life, he found a deep peace with God. Luther was invited to be a lecturer at the University of Wittenberg. He taught through books of the Bible, and his lectures were popular. Even ordinary people from the town came along. In those days, the Catholic Church was telling Christians that their good behavior could earn them heaven. But Luther knew from the Bible that no amount of good works could earn you forgiveness. Not even the Pope was able to give forgiveness from God. Only God could do that. Luther saw that the church had left behind what the Bible taught and was even making things up for its own gain. He decided he must teach against these false ideas. He made his complaints public by nailing them to the place in town where people published important documents, the door of the castle church. He explained that it wasn't possible to buy God's forgiveness or to live a life that was good enough to deserve to know God. His writings showed that God wants to forgive the wrong we've done, and that this is only possible because Jesus, the Son of God, came to pay the punishment that our wrong deserved. Jesus did this as he died in our place. Luther's ideas quickly spread throughout Europe, thanks to a recent invention, the printing press. The Pope wrote a document saying that Luther had to take it all back, and if he didn't, he'd be treated as a heretic. Luther refused and publicly burned a copy of the Pope's letter. Luther's ideas shook things up religiously, politically, and culturally. He was soon summoned to stand before the emperor and answer for his supposed crimes of explaining what the Bible said. The emperor declared Luther an outlaw, banning his literature. And that's when he was rescued and went to live in disguise in a castle. Dressing in knight's clothing, he changed his name to Sir George and grew his hair and a beard, and spent his time translating the New Testament. Again, it was published widely, meaning ordinary people could read the Bible for the first time. Luther then secretly returned to Wittenberg. He continued to write books and translate the Bible. He also got married and had a family. Europe was buzzing with Luther's message about the Bible. Today, 500 years on, the truths of the Bible that Luther knew continue to impact millions of people. People who've come to know God personally, knowing the peace and forgiveness Jesus offers us. The forgiveness that Luther found is still available today. We can all be in a right relationship with God because of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
And now a reading from Matthew chapter 23 and the first 12 verses. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to the disciples. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees are the authorized interpreters of Moses' law. So you must obey and follow everything they tell you to do. Do not, however, imitate their actions, because they don't practice what they preach. They tie on to people's backs loads that are heavy and hard to carry, yet they aren't willing even to lift a finger to help them carry those loads. They do everything so that people will see them. Look at the straps with scripture verses on them that they wear on their foreheads and arms, and notice how large they are. Notice also how long are the tassels on their cloaks. They love the best places at feasts and reserved seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called teacher. You must not be called teacher, because you're all members of the one family and have only one teacher. And you must not call anyone here on earth father, because you have only one father in heaven. Nor should you be called leader, because your one and only leader is the Messiah. The greatest one among you must be your servant. Whoever makes himself great will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be made great. Amen.
Today is All Saints' Day, a day when we remember all the saints, not just the ones like Andrew that has his own special day coming up at the end of November, or St. George that we might remember in April, or David at the beginning of March. All Saints, a day to remember all the people of God, past and present, who have done great things and who have done the little things well and faithfully. We are all saints. The scriptures call the people of God, the church of God, the saints of God. And maybe there is a sense in which we're not saints yet, but we're on a journey. A journey in which we become more Christ-like, more saint-like. When asked what a saint is, a young child once replied, "A saint is someone that the light shines through." He may have been thinking of a stained glass window, but how right he was. A saint, one through whom the light shines. There's an aspirational thought for us all. Maybe something of being saintly is to lead an authentic life. In the gospel passage today, Jesus encounters the religious leaders of his day, and he's able to say, yeah, they are the respected leaders, and you must do what they say, but don't do what they do. Maybe not so much respected as recognised as the leaders. Jesus could see in them a disconnect between what was said and what was done. And maybe in our own time and over recent months, many of our political leaders have found themselves caught between what they said and what they were seen to be doing. An authentic, genuine life where what you see is what you get is maybe something of what Jesus expects of disciples. No gap, no gulf between belief and behaviour. On this All Saints' Day, as we also think something on the reformed and reforming nature of our church, we remember that we are a church always in need of reform. And I want to say that 500 years on from those Reformation days that would divide the church, so much of what divides the denominations has, of course, been healed in more recent times. And it's good that there is so much ecumenical working across denominational divides. The church is always in need of reform. And our own Church of Scotland is, of course, wrestling with big questions just now of radical restructure, radical change, structural reform. And as convener of the Business Committee of the General Assembly, and indeed as an Assembly trustee, I have been involved in many of those conversations recently. And I keep coming back to a thought that I heard from a change management consultant many years ago, who said there are only three things that you can change: structures, policies, and mindset. And you have to change them all. And the most difficult is always mindset. And as I think on that and think on the need for the church to be reformed continually, I remember that the church is not anything other than the gathering together of the saints of God. It's you and me. And together, we need to recognise our own need for continual reform. How can I be a better version of myself tomorrow as opposed to yesterday? We need to reflect upon our life, our belief, our behaviour, that we might be seen to have something within us of God, something other, something beyond the ordinary and mundane of our existence. On this All Saints Day, let us remember that the church is a school for sinners, much more than a rest home for saints. Together we journey to become more Christ-like, to become more saint-like. Happy All Saints Day to you all, saints and sinners. Amen.
And now we bring our prayers for others and for ourselves. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for your patience and your mercy. Hear us, O Lord, as we offer these our prayers for our universe. We thank you for the men and women and children who wisely use the gifts and talents you have given them, who are making our world a better place to live in. We thank you for all those people who are gifted teachers, helping others to learn and grow in all manner of ways. We thank you for all those people who are enablers, helping people to discover gifts and talents they weren't aware of. We pray for all those people who have been denied using the gifts and talents they have, and who long for an opportunity to use them. We pray for all those who spend so much time envying the gifts of others that they fail to see their own gifts, nor use them well. Lord God, we bring to you our many and varied prayers. We pray for our world in the midst of pandemic. We pray for our nation and its leaders. And we pray that as restrictions and rules change, we may all grasp
the wisdom to work together. We pray for all those who suffer most. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, for those who are ill, for those who must continue to work, for those who care for others. Lord God, we come together as your people. We come aware of the glimpses of your love that we see around us, and we're grateful. We bring to you our prayers for the world and all its people. We bring to you our prayers for ourselves. Lord, in a world full of people who would love to proclaim their wisdom but live foolish lives, we pray that your followers would strive to be as wise as Jesus and live as he did. Help us, we pray. Amen.
Today, as you know, is All Saints' Day. It's a day when we are encouraged to remember the sacrifices of those around us and those who have gone before us, as they gave all that they could do, their time, their money, their talents. So let us dedicate ourselves too. Generous God, you teach us to offer freely without counting the cost. Receive our offerings today. They are symbols of our gifts and our talents freely given to the work of your kingdom. Hear us, Lord, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Power of the Spirit to shine your light in the way we live. Send us out in the power of your Spirit as we've received, may we freely give. Send us out, send us out, send us out for your glory. Let all we do be praise to you. Send us out for your glory. Out in the power of your Spirit to show your love everywhere we go. Send us out in the power of your Spirit, Lord, fill us up so we overflow. Send us out, send us out, send us out for your glory. Let all we do be praise to you. Send us out.
Your glory and your prayer.
As we come towards the end of this service, I offer you a blessing. Following Jesus can be difficult. It's not always easy getting things right. Sometimes it's easier to look good than to be good. Know that as we bring our worship to a close, that you are good enough. For you are beloved of God, upheld by Jesus and accompanied by the Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and those you love, now and evermore. Amen.